What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm your host, Tim Keller. Along with me, as always, is Tyler Gunther and John Bosch. We have a fantastic guest with us today. Tyler, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest?
Well, he's a fellow Minnesotan. You know, everybody loves Minnesotans. And I think he is probably the top three greatest Minnesotans to live at this moment on a computer in front of a microphone on the Dynasty Happy Hour. I think we can agree with that.
Top three. Yep.
Top three. And his name is Scott Fish.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Scott, well, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. Thanks.
Oh, look at this. The Minnesota Nice is already coming out. Scott, I was just going to say, you are one of the great minds in this industry. You put together a lot of leagues that a lot of fantastic people play in, and I hear nothing but good things about these leagues you put up to, put up for everybody to play in. And then, of course, there's the big one, the Scott Fish Bowl. So, if you don't know Scott Fish, go type his name into Google, and you're going to see the type of things this guy's all about. And a lot of it's giving back to charity, and that's a great thing. So thank
Google
you for that,
do
Scott
that?
Fish.
I have literally never Googled myself. I didn't even know that kind of stuff pulls up.
That's funny thing is, there if we go. Google Scott, are we going to find out that Minnesota too nice? Like, he had a background in male stripping back in his college days to get through college?
Oh, man. No.
Are we going to find things out like that?
Scott Fish image search brings up some odd references here, huh?
Like, did he actually try to open up a bait and tackle shop called Scott Fish Tackle?
That would be amazing.
Tyler was sitting on that joke for a while, it feels like.
I'm now considering it, though, because
I can actually cross it off right now. All right. Got one.
Cross that off the list.
Tally up the head shake from John.
So today we're going to talk about auctions and bankroll leagues. We're going to talk about some of the ideas guys have going into auction leagues, type of styles you want to approach these leagues with. And then we're going to talk about one of the big ones, the Capitalist Pigs League that is created by the mind of Scott Fish. we're going to talk about Capital Pigs 3, to be exact. But, John, this is your last episode with us. This was your topic that you wanted to dive in on. This is kind of the world you live in. This is the stuff you really like. So, John, we'll start with you. Going into an auction league, a bankroll league, what are your strategies going into these drafts?
So, first I'll say there's nothing like a pigs league. You can try and prepare, but there's really no way to prepare for a pigs league. Auction in general, I always try and just tier out my guys. I know which guys I want to target, you know, out of that tier, but which guys I'll also be okay getting if I get them for way cheaper. That's the only way that I really prepare for any auction. I don't rank guys 1 to 10, anything like that. I just kind of group them. I kind of have a ballpark of what I want to spend. I kind of throw that out the window almost immediately when an auction begins. But as for the pigs leagues, which are a bankroll, that's why I wanted to talk about it, because for me, league creation and pushing the envelope of fantasy football is what I find intriguing, shocking, I know. That's how I go into an auction league. The bankroll pigs leagues, there's nothing you can do to prepare. You can look at the old bankroll auctions. You can look at the old pigs leagues. I don't know that it still gives you a clear path as to what in the world could happen when those first round of nominations hit the board.
Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit what's different between a regular auction startup and a pigs startup?
Well, I think it's just the bankroll aspect, really, is that you can save your money from the startup to the next draft, which puts people on this field of, You know, some people actually don't want to spend all their money in the startup. I am not that person. I spend every last penny in the startup. And John was touching on auctions. I generally have strategies in your normal auction. Budgets. I'm generally a 15% guy. I don't like to spend over 15% on any player. In the pigs auctions, that's out the water.
I laugh because Scott was preaching this 15% rule last year in Pigs 2 when it started up. And then, I don't know how many days into it before all of a sudden 50% of his budget is on the board for two players. It was only a matter of days, I'm pretty sure, wasn't it?
A few days, yeah.
That's the worst, is I came into Pigs 3 thinking I'm going to go with my strategy as I had with our Bar Tab League, which is similar but not quite, and it backfired on me completely. Like, completely backfired. I spent way too much on quarterbacks, and that I wanted to set the quarterback market. But what I did is I actually made myself look very dumb, and I spent, 76.8,
yeah. On three quarterbacks. Not that anybody looked that number up.
On three quarterbacks.
When you can start two.
John has been actually running numbers for my team rather than looking for his team. Just to do the open bash. Like, he just likes to bash me. So he literally has done math equations and all that just to find a way to get to me.
Well, let's be honest. 768 divided by 1,000 times 100. Pretty easy to figure out. So it's not like I had to work that hard.
Well, who knows? There's some crazy calculus you probably had to do.
Do most of your listeners understand bankroll leagues?
No, let's go ahead and talk about what we've touched on it, but let's talk about what made you want to do a bankroll league, Scott? What made you kind of invent this new format that nobody had seen before?
This is all just me. There have been some rookie classes in the past that I just have so little interest in that I'd rather spend the money on vets. Or, you know, spend the money or draft capital on vets and I'll trade all my picks for vets or whatever. And I decided there's got to be a better way to be able to just hold on to assets and use them as you want them. I didn't want to be forced to spend my rookie money in a rookie auction that I wasn't excited about. And then it's gone at the end, you know? So I figured... Yeah, there's got to be a way to just keep the money, keep it rolling into the next auction. And if someone wants to just build up money time after time, they can do it. And it's kind of where Pigs was born. Is that's just the basic, and stuff is added on since. But I wanted to make it, I guess, just more freedom for owners, not just in the Devy, not just in the rookie. Everything about Pigs, there's just absolute freedom to do whatever the hell you want with your team. In any auction, you don't have to participate in the stuff you don't want to. You can participate in whatever you want to in the league. It's a very freeing league to be able to do the stuff you enjoy.
Yeah, you even have things like rivalry games. So there's trophies, there's money on the line in those. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've had rivalry games in a lot of my leagues for quite a while. We have rivalry trophies, progressive pots attached to them. Basically, each year you pick a rival. In that rivalry game, you guys play for a little side cash, whether it, you know, be real cash or you know, auction dollars. And the winner of that game, you know, takes it home. And it's something you can put in any league, really. You just everybody picks a rival, and when that game shows up on the schedule, have a little something to it. It's a fun way to, you know, increase a little bit of, you know, league. Little league rivalry, I guess. There's not much a better word than rivalry for it.
And the rivalries tend to form naturally during the auction because of the preferred style of auction, right?
Yes. And it's it really is my preferred style, John. That is definitely true. I know some people don't like it as much, but it's just, I don't know, non-proxy auctions are just so much fun, actually always knowing the price, knowing exactly what you need to make a bid, and knowing that you could be redlined at any minute. Someone could reset your clock. Those proxy auctions, I don't know. I never even loved doing eBay. So that's just not my style. I prefer to know the exact amount at all times. I don't care that it might last a day or two longer. That's a day or two of more fun for me.
I agree completely. And the non-proxy creates a lot of hurt feelings. And I actually have not gotten outbid at the last second because I upbid my players about $50 more than what they should go for. So I make sure that doesn't happen. And
now what they're talking about is there's a 24-hour clock on a player. So let's say Tyler nominates his fourth quarterback. We'll just throw, I don't know, Jared Goff out there. And he has $100 on Jared Goff. If John wants to wait 23 hours and 59 minutes.
Which he would.
And then, I don't think I've redlined anybody this auction.
And
I've
then,
been out of it. I'm tame.
And then outbid him by $1, the 24-hour clock then resets.
Yeah, and I will and say, it, don't do a 24-hour clock, though. Do 14, 16 hours, do 12 hours. Don't do 24 because it feels like an eternity then.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I want to go back to John saying he's tame. He's like Siegfried and Roy's tiger. Like, you may think it's tame, but he's going to come after your face sooner
eventually,
or later.
Eventually, he's going to punch you.
I don't think I've ever had an auction where I've put in so few bids, to tell you the truth. I've been relatively inactive since, like, day, I don't know, three. I came out firing for fun because I wanted to rev up those engines of everybody else. And then I casually battled, you know, sat down and watched everybody else.
So let's talk about that a little bit, John. Is that kind of your strategy? You're trying to, like you said, rev up the engine. You're trying to get that money flowing, get that money out of everybody else's pockets, let's say.
God, yes. And this auction especially. I knew people were amped and ready to go. So day one started, and I came out firing. And I figured if I came out firing, guess what? The worst thing that could happen is I'm going to win players. But it's unlikely to happen because there's only, you know, 45-ish players on the board because we weren't all required to nominate. But people love bidding. People aren't going to just sit there and watch some guy get nominated, bid up once, and then on a team. So I knew that I could push the envelope early on. And yeah, that was definitely a strategy to burn money from other people. And it was fairly successful early on. I think people got a little tame after a few days when they realized, oh crap, I have to start 10 players and I have two guys on my roster and only 50% of my budget left. Like, it's now hit a cliff and it's gone the other way where everybody is super duper cheap in relative terms.
It's unreal.
But that's how it always is and ends up. You know, you got to time it right and hit when there's not other people with money bidding. So I have a feeling a lot ridiculous. Of times, I think in Pigs 2 and in Pigs 1, like the final copies, we probably should explain what copies are too. So copies are, it's a 56 team league, which is essentially four 14 team leagues. So there's four copies of each player. So you can get four Odell Beckhams, can't have them all on the same team, but there's four different Odell Beckhams. So you got to target which copy you think is going to be the best. It's always the third copy, but I think there were some instances where like the fourth copy got more expensive at the end, didn't it, Scott? Because people had money left.
Yep,
and then all
of
a sudden there's very few assets left. And it's like, all right, well, I got this money. Now I have to spend it. And then they have a limited supply. So it's all about timing and trying to figure out when to really attack.
Yeah. Or you got that guy that's been outbid on Odell Beckham three other times. And now he's going to go get him. He's just going to go get his guy. And Odell's that guy that he missed on three times. Now he's not going to miss.
Yeah, that's it. But luckily that Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy that more than three in the league want him. So he will keep his price at least somewhat high. In the Pigs leagues, it's very weird because I think in the first league, the first copies were the cheapest. Was that right, John?
Yeah, I think most of the second. I think there were
a couple of first copies
that were more expensive, but the majority
like
were cheaper.
Yeah.
That was only a basic two copy league, though. Real simple two copy league, you know.
And then the second one, the third copies. And it seems like this time the fourth copy is going to be the cheapest so far.
Yeah, I haven't looked at how many people have money left, but if I got to believe there's going to be a few people that end up, there's going to be a bidding war over a few players, unless people are just saying, you know what, I'm not going over this mark. I don't care if I don't get a guy. Because it only takes two people with money left to start bidding like crazy to get the final copy of Gurley. I mean, Gurley scored 35 points a game in this scoring setting last year. So that's crazy. Like, you can't buy that kind of production anywhere else but in the startup.
Is there still a copy of Gurley out there?
I don't know. I don't know. Truthfully, I don't know.
To be honest with you, I think there is four gone.
Are all four gone?
I'm all sure those Gurley was the first one to be bid on, and I'm pretty sure he was like the first one to have all four go.
He was just my first example because I knew he was the highest scorer in the league. If it had been a league, but based on the scoring settings, he scored more than anybody else. But
yeah, this league has really messed with my emotions. I mean, literally all weekend I've been up and down, and my wife's even like, "You've been kind of testy," and I'm like, "I'm in this league, I'm bidding," and I'm like, "I'm just frustrated about how I started," and that's the thing is, I went in with my normal auction strategy, which is go big first, because usually in most of every auction I've been in, people are scared to bid first. They sit back and they want to observe the auction. But what I didn't remember is it is a four copy league. And I honestly just, that went right over my head from the beginning. And I went all in. And I bid 301 on Deshaun Watson. I bid 250 on Luck. And I bid 208 on Mitch Trubisky. And I thought those prices were going to stick. I'm like, if Watson is even 290, I'll be okay. Because I got the guy I wanted. And Luck, I'm like, okay, Luck, he'll go for 240, 260. No, that was not the case. People did not bid. People just sat back. And even after they saw the bid, I just completely forgot there's three more copies of these guys, and I'm a dumb idiot.
So much money to spend on players.
Everybody's speechless. Nobody knows how to respond to that.
I thought I was spending a lot on three players.
But
to be fair, Tyler has cashed out. Like he took the loss, got some money back, and because he couldn't just be patient like I told him to and just hold on to the quarterbacks, and they're an investment. But Tyler wants to win now.
Fall into your trap there, John. Was he one of the guys you were revving his engine up on?
I don't have to rev his engine. I knew how Tyler was going to come out.
He knows my strategy. He saw me at bar tab and how I went about. And that's funny because in the bar tab league, I set the quarterback market.
You did a great job.
I set the market and people were bidding higher than what I got the quarterbacks for. And that was my hope. And it didn't happen.
So we're referencing bar tab. That's another bankroll league that we are in that is basically a very basic setup copied from Pigs. It's bankroll, but that's about the only similarities. We don't have a lot of the other extras. So, Tim, I know you were perusing some of the rules. What are some of the extras that you want to ask Scott about for capitalist Pigs?
Well, I just wanted to say that if some of the listeners don't know how this all works, you get $1,000 for your startup draft, and then like Scott apparently likes to do, he spends every dollar. He spends $1,000 during the startup draft. So, Scott, how are there other ways to make money? How do you go about having money for free agents during the season, next year's rookie draft? There's got to be ways to make money.
Oh yeah, you get stipends throughout the year. Right after the right after this startup draft, you get $50 of free agency money for the rest of the season. You also have access to
waiver wire. Yes, waiver wire.
Yep, waiver wire. And you also have access to all your rookie picks at that point. So I'm sure there will be a lot of trading of rookie picks for players in cash.
All of your 2018 rookie money or all of your 2018 plus 2019?
2019 rookie picks you'll have access to after the startup. So
I can't wait for that day.
I think people are going to be trading those for cash. But you get $50 after this auction. You get $200 for the rookie auction in April.
When can you trade that?
April 15th when you get it.
So you can't trade. So you can trade 2019 rookie money before 2018 rookie money.
Yep.
Dang it.
I actually don't even know that's written in the bylaws.
It's not. Trust me. I've looked it up like 50 times to try and find out when I can start making trades.
Yeah.
Stock market Johnny.
John needs a quarterback. Everybody.
I have trades that I need to be making.
Basically, throughout the year, you get little stipends. You get $50 here, $200 here, $50 here. January 1st, you get a bunch of money. And then, about four different times a year, you get basically a payday. So That's how you get some money. In this league, though, there's so many things. I mean, this league, we have something called Pigcoin. I don't know if anyone has told you about this, but basically we have a cryptocurrency of a cryptocurrency within a fantasy football league. So you can trade.
People's minds are blown right now.
This is so wrong.
So let's just get basic. What is a Pigcoin and what is it used for?
It's just used for trading. Like, it's like a stock. It's you trade shares of Pigcoin between each other. And at three or four times a year, the value of the Pigcoin is released. And you can decide whether to sell off your shares or buy more shares. So it's basically a stock market inside the game.
Now, who decides the price of the Bitcoin?
It's a random generator.
Okay.
It's anywhere from 0 to 2 times the value.
And how many Bitcoins can I buy at a time?
10 total during the year.
You can only buy 10. Yeah, go on.
You can trade with other people. There are a total of, 560, or I guess this year it's going to be 616, right? 616. There's about 600 Bitcoins total that all the teams get to trade. So you can also bet. If people want to bet on the Olympics, they can bet on the Olympics using their pig bucks, their cash.
Or so, you could bet who's going to have a better season, Corey Clement or Jay Ajayi, like John and I did.
Yeah. And you can bet on anything in this.
Yeah.
And there's also a weekly lottery.
Or I believe I saw something come across about like a distance competition in this league.
Oh yeah, that's one of the bets that I just set up. That's in Pigs 2, where basically we are going to have a competition we're calling it like the Pig Marathon, where every week you have to travel at least 26.2 miles or whatever it was in kilometers for the Canadians that are in it.
26.2 miles.
Yeah,
get with the Canadians.
26.2 miles. And then we just have to document it. You take a screenshot from whatever your fitness, tracker app is, post it. If you don't complete it, you throw a pig buck into the pot. And every 4 weeks, whoever travels the furthest amount total distance will win whatever is in that pig buck pot. So basically, there's no way to lose as long as you're achieving your goals. So we've been able to make ourselves a little healthier through gambling within a fantasy football league. The slightest amount of competition for motivation.
This league has taken years off my life.
I think it's gonna add once you start betting on your health.
That's the thing. Is it's awesome. Like, I have never been in a league like this where I'm just sitting throughout the day, my kids are playing, and my phone will go off, and they'll like earlier today, they were literally on top of me, and I felt my phone go off, and I'm like, oh, I got to see if a bid was won or who's bidding, and I just threw them off me. I'm like, get out of here.
I never know if I should feel like that's a compliment or feel bad.
Yeah, probably,
I get that a lot, where people are like, oh, I'm checking this league constantly, and I've heard this league has ruined other leagues for me. I now only focus
on
this
Scott.
League.
He is evil, yeah. Scott out to ruin fantasy football for everybody else, but people in his leagues.
Oh, I feel terrible about that, but I also feel like
he looks like he feels terrible, doesn't he, guys?
With a giant smile on my face.
Yeah, you should. It's almost evil. Like
Why would you feel bad about creating something that takes the place of so much else? Most people started in the regular redraft league, and then the degenerates slowly transferred into dynasty, and then Devy, and auction, and salary cap, and now there's leagues like this that have so many twists and turns available to them that it's something that's great. It's something that constantly keeps your mind working, because once the draft's done, like, John's already got his gears going towards trades for this year's rookie cash.
Oh, my gears for trading for this Pigs 3 league happened the minute that Scott said something about Pigs 3. I immediately knew then how I wanted to approach Pigs 3 this time. This is the third one I've done, and I've done each startup has been different in how I've approached it. I don't know that any of them are right.
So how does Tyler truly feel, and how do you feel, John, about my teeth?
You know, Scott, you wouldn't even have to ask. You could just send me the invite, and you know, I would click within like 5 minutes of accepting the invite and linking my franchise on MFL, and then I would immediately rub it in Derek's face that I got in before him. So, you know,
if there was a four, Derek would be the absolute last person in.
Yes, I love the idea. I put my heart and soul into this one. I just don't want to take away. Like, I feel like people screwed themselves in this auction to the point where they're like, well, I guess I could recover by doing another one in PIGS 4. And then this one is just like, this one's like the AAA team in baseball. And then, you know.
But I don't think that PIGS 2 people feel that way about PIGS 3.
Yeah,
you know?
I will say that. And Tyler, yeah,
they're all your babies once you get down to it.
Yes, they are. You feel like you don't want to get your heart and soul ripped out again by doing it.
And
but here's the thing. After just a few weeks in a PIGS league, you actually just don't have a heart or a soul. they just go away. It's magical. You literally become a capitalist pig, and you just have to have zero emotion, zero attachment to the world, to an individual player, to literally anything. You become numb. So it doesn't matter anymore. It's great.
I feel like Scott wants to start a PIGS 4 just to see me be like, all right, I got a new strategy. I'm going to try this. And then go into it and be like,
and then
nope,
he spends $800 on kickers.
Yeah, I was going to say the tight end position is going to go
I'll create
through
PIGS
the roof.
4 and Tyler will bid $175 bucks on Trubisky right away. And then
I'm getting him. See if they fall for it again.
So in the spirit of competition, I see you also have this thing called Tax the Rich, where the top teams in the league have to, not necessarily a penalty, but you're paying a wage to, like in this league, team
Man
one has to pay team 56 a certain amount of money, and it tears down. So how'd that come about?
Scott's mean and doesn't like it when people that win get more money. He's really mean. People,
exactly.
He's mean.
No, it just yet another way to try to figure out a way to spread money from, you know, the good teams down to the bad teams. And honestly, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny because I forced those trades through. So the people, when it happens, you know, the best teams are like, dang it, I have to pay $21. It already goes through. Just it's pretty fun. No, I don't know what really came about, how it came about. I just thought it'd be a good idea. I'm trying to constantly spread the wealth out from good to bad, and it's worked out well. It's man, yeah, this league. This
it
crazy.
Feels great when you get the money. Like in PIGS 1, I've gotten the money twice, and I'm like, oh, that's a nice little extra little bit of money that I get to play with. But in PIGS 2, I had to give money this past year, and that's a very different feeling.
Yeah.
When you're closer to the top and you have to give money and you're just like, hey, I earned that. I worked hard and now just away goes my money, and it feels very real. It's very,
especially when you don't win much. the nice thing about PIGS leagues is they're advancement payouts. So if you make the playoffs, you get $25. You advance a round in the playoffs, you get another $25. You advance another round, you get 75. But like, so every round you advance, you make money, which is pretty nice. It's a nice setup,
and it helps you pay that weaker team that didn't make the playoffs there.
Yeah, he's talking real money.
Yeah, I'm talking about real money. I'm talking about
now
actual...
he shifted from the fake money inside the league to the real money that you make.
But who knows?
Isn't
who
even
knows
fake
what's
money, real money though?
Yeah, I was gonna say, who knows what's fake and real in PIGS. Sooner or later, Scott's actually going to be giving pig coins for Toys for Tots during December.
Like, the weird thing about these leagues being $55-$65 is I don't even care. Like, I don't care if I make a dime, you know, I don't care if I win anything. That's well worth the amount to have fun playing this league. You know, I would pay $55 to have this much fun year round, basically.
Yeah, I do agree. You get your entertainment dollars worth. I still want to win the money, though. I mean, you know, that's all great and good that Scott doesn't care about winning. I'll remember that. Remind me, how far have you not made the playoffs in any of the leagues yet? Like, I'm pretty sure you made it. Depends
every
when
year.
Did you miss? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've made the playoffs in both of them every year. Well,
but
you know,
he doesn't care about winning. It's, you know, He just wants to have fun.
Yep.
Oh, God. It's this league is great. And if you haven't made it into Pigs League, create your own. Like, honestly, it's awesome. Because I guarantee if you hit up Scott on Twitter, which everybody should, and ask him for all the details on Pigs.
Someone just did an hour ago. My DMs are open. And, there's constantly people with copycat Pigs Leagues out there wanting me to retweet, to fill for them. And they're all over. And that might be actually the bigger compliment, not the amount of time people waste on Pigs Leagues, the copycat leagues out there. And I say copycat lovingly, I'm happy they do it. I, as a commissioner, that's like, there's pride in that people see the things you've brought into leagues and use them in their own leagues. That's kind of awesome.
Now, coming from an industry point, Pigs has to be on the same level as Scott Fishbowl. Like, it's pretty darn close. Like, industry-wise, yes, but Scott Fishbowl is the mother of all leagues during the fantasy season.
I don't even know how it got there. I'm so happy it did, but that was a long ride. We're entering year 8 of trying to push this thing.
How many teams
out there. That brings up a question for me. Is there a league that's too big, Scott?
Yes. And I think Fishbowl's right on that edge.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to expand it this year, even though 5,000 people are not going to get in. It's got to maintain at least a little bit of exclusivity, to be still be this event. It's also got to maintain that, so that there's at least like 4, 5, 6 really, industry people that people want to play with in each division. Yep. There are those celebrity leagues out there, those industry leagues out there, or whatever, that, it's one guy and then they fill it with their listeners or whatever.
Hey, but now, four, five, those six, raise good money. The Eliminators. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding.
No, those are awesome. I can't even say those are incredibly awesome. And I want to talk to you about something about that later, John, because I have an interesting idea. So
perfect.
Uh-oh. The two great minds combine. It's like Lex
Hit
Luthor.
John up now.
I'll tell you, people are afraid of like what I think about for fantasy football. I am terrified at what goes on in Scott's mind with fantasy football. Like, I don't think I think it would make my brain explode.
When are Ryan, me, and you going to have a commissioner service?
Oh my god!
I have been telling you since the day I met you. You let me know where to send the check for investment.
Now I do want to. I want to ask a question about you and Ryan. Ryan has the kitchen sink,
yep,
and you have pigs. What are kind of the differences between two? Because I know Ryan's kitchen sink leagues are pretty far up there as well. They're close with pigs. But what are the main differences between the two?
Scott hates wide receivers. Ryan loves wide receivers. Start there. No, I'm kidding.
Well, that's true. Ryan's scoring is pretty normal, and mine is usually an attempt to balance things. So they're definitely a little more wide receiver heavy, but they're pretty normal scoring, and that's good because they're literally throwing the kitchen sink at it. He's got, contracts and salary caps and, of course it's got super flex and, it's just got a whole, but it's got Devy. Have separate Devy money and rookie money and Devy spots that are all tradable and stuff. They're very, very different leagues, believe it or not.
That's the biggest difference because I am in the kitchen, one of the kitchen sink leagues. So I'll say that's the biggest difference is that the money pools are separate. So where in Pigs, it all blends together. Kitchen sink, they're all separate, which is, it's just as much fun, but it's a different strategy. Because what you can do is you can trade rookie money to somebody for their Devy money. So it forces you to kind of try and value which money is worth the most amount of money. Because they're different values. There's rookie, there's, all-purpose money for free agents, stuff like that. And there's restricted free agents because it is a contract year league, which we don't, that's not Pigs. So there are differences. They're both heavily strategic leagues. That's the common thread through both. Is just you have to really be strategic in your setup and your processing of your team.
My last question is a league with Ryan, Scott, and John. John, the addition would be superheroes and superpowers, am I right?
No, I'm never doing that again. I love that league, but it's a lot of work. It is way
too
like much
a commissioner work. Commissioner hassle. Every time I've heard you talk about it, I'm like, man, that sounds like fun, but it sounds like a lot of commish work.
Yes, it is intensive for commish work. I highly recommend it if you want to do it, because if you love it, you're gonna love it. And if you don't do it, because it's not worth the work unless you're really enjoying it.
I will say this also about the kitchens. Ryan makes awesome. If you can ever get in one, they're just he makes great leagues.
I know, and that's the thing is, he offered me a kitchen sink league spot, and the Capitalist Pigs League has just mushed my brain.
Oh,
for like, and I had to decline. But then he's also got second chance leagues where it's like. Where it's just basic drafting, and I'm like, I'm all in for that because I'm at like a 3-year-old fantasy brain right now after doing Pigs 3. I need to get back to my normal self after really screwing the pooch on this.
See, I actually take the different approach to Pigs. I mean, I don't think it does, you say it mushes your brain, but to me what it does, I think it sharpens how you play. To me, it totally changed the way that I played fantasy football. Because it made me look at how I actually value players in a way that I had never looked at how I valued players ever before. So once you start looking at that differently and not just thinking, oh, this guy's worth 2 first-round picks. When you start thinking of the actual value that guy provides to your roster and what would you actually give up to get that guy? I mean, it changes how you think for me. And maybe you're in the mush point until it gets to that point where you just make that total shift. But for me, I love the way that it makes your brain think
you're a two and a half year vet, John.
Yeah, I know. So. I know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, as you will get to that point where Tyler spent 2017 in a bankroll league. He was in one. So he's been through it a little bit.
That's true. But that was completely different. And it went my way. Like, I'm still recovering on it not going my way. And that's the issue is you have strategies with these, and you can go into it, and I will warn people for future Pigs Leagues, don't have a strategy.
No,
it won't work. It won't.
Yeah, you can't have one.
That was my mistake, is I had a strategy, and I stuck to it, and it really backfired. I'm telling you, it really backfired.
I'll say have the right strategy, actually. That's what I'll recommend.
I secretly tried to help people by surprise, we're drafting tomorrow. You know, like, I didn't...
Oh, not allowing them to think up schemes and ideas.
I emailed everyone and said, hey, the draft starts tomorrow morning. You know, and just
which was awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know, but one thing John does, and Ryan with the kitchen sink, and John's leagues and my leagues, that if you're starting leagues, and I cannot emphasize enough, tradable assets, make as many things as you can tradable, because that just creates so much activity in the league. The Pigs leagues, the kitchen sink leagues, John's leagues, they're just strife with it, you know. And I don't know, I've commissioned some leagues, and under the commissioner service I run, there are some leagues where the rosters are 16 man, and there's positional limits for every position. You have to have this many players on your of each position on your roster and stuff. And they average under 13 trades a year. Like, oh. I run 35 and I'm changing the entire game up this upcoming year. I'm going to be running my commissioner service is safe leagues, and I'm going to be running a ton of awesome leagues, but those 35 safe leagues, Pigs 2 had more trades in that one league than all 35 of those leagues combined.
How many trades did we have in day one of Pigs 3 that were just pig coin based?
We 24. 24. We have over 40 trades in the first week of Pigs
3. The funny thing is it's funny that you bring up more tradable assets. And that's the thing that got me really wanting to be in Pigs is John knows I am a avid player for trading. I love trading.
Trade addict.
I love it. I have to make a trade probably every 2 weeks. Otherwise, I have to go to the loony bin and they have to strap me up because I need to trade. Like I have the itch.
Now, Tyler, you're given. I have that information. You don't need to give that information to the other 54 pigs in the league. I know that. And I know if I haven't seen a trade come across with Tyler recently, that's when you start to hit Tyler up and say, see how itchy he's getting.
But that's the thing is I have learned to control myself to the point where during trades, I've learned to control myself to the point where I'm not going to completely ruin my team.
Scott, you want to make a pig bet on that? I'll bet he hasn't learned to control. No, I'm kidding.
I kind of want to look at Tyler's team now because I know he's made at least three to five trades.
I have, and I'm going to make another one tonight.
And see, what's really interesting is a lot of people, like, one thing people bash about auctions is, well, you can't trade in them. You can't trade.
Oh, that's not true.
In a pig's auction with four copies, you can. Now, granted, you're only basically trading money for a player, but because the value shifts so quickly, that whatever that person paid for that player, the value changes. So there's a way to try and capitalize on that, whether they overspent and you might be able to get them for a little bit of a cheap deal, or if somebody wins a guy for they go off the board cheap and then everything else in that market is expensive, you can exploit that and get a little extra money in the startup cash right there. So it does have that little bit of effect to allow trading when you go all the way up to four copies. Yeah, your standard auction league, that's not going to happen. But if you're playing in something like this, you totally have trade options, even though you don't have draft picks trying to jump up one round. It's a different type of trading, but it's just as much fun, if not more fun, I think.
No, the thing is I feel like Jeff Miller had an unfair advantage by the fact that he came in late, because if I came in a day or two late, I feel like I would have came in better suited to do this. So
I think almost half the league would have been in a better place if we just let the board go for three, 4 days. You're totally
right.
Which is
weird, because that's what happened in the first two. Like, nobody, I don't think anybody went off probably in the first 72 hours of either of the first two startups. This startup, players went off the board quickly because of how quickly people came out firing.
I think part of it, and I think it's because of the new way that I do auctions, is one nomination a day, and it doesn't matter. I'm not going to keep track. I'm just going to check at the end of the auction. And you don't have to nominate if you don't want to. The Pigs 2 auction, 28 one day, 28 the next day. This one, we're putting up 40-ish a day, you know? And the board being more full, I think, is allowing more players to fall off the board.
Yeah, money is definitely tied up. That sucks when you have money tied up and you can't bid, and you see a guy that's, you know, in the red, and he's like, oh my God, that's such a deal. And you go and you scroll all the way down to see how much money you have left, or you know it in your head because you have to keep track because it changes so daggone much because of the glitch. But, you know, and you just don't have enough. That sucks. So then you just jump in the chat and you're like, hey, everybody. Here, you throw up the flare and you openly table talk to encourage everybody else to bid up a player.
Corey Clement, by the way, I just want to say,
oh my gosh,
on air,
we can't get through a show. This is like the third mention of him already, isn't it?
This kind of upset me. People went against me and bid up Corey Clement, and that upset me. Like,
they know that's your guy. How much
they were
did
spending
you pay?
So much. I spent $30 on Clement.
I think the first copy went for like 40, right?
All four copies went for 40. But all the other people that were going against me already had a copy.
No,
so.
Wait, what? They're not allowed doing that. That's not true.
That's against the rules.
they were.
Well, I mean, Sal had a copy, and then there's a couple other people that knew how much I love Clement. They also had a copy. So I think their strategy was, we're going to get the copies, but I don't think they found a fourth one. Maybe.
Okay,
or they're trying to be nice and they just let me have the last one. Because I believe that everybody in this league is also very nice.
Not true.
I think an added benefit that has added to trades is allowing people to go over budget. They just have to get themselves under budget by the end of the auction. Mm-hmm. So when someone jumps over budget, they're like, crap, I have to trade, you know, just to get back under budget, which I did not expect that to be a benefit, but it's forced at least three or four trades now.
Yep, for sure.
It's funny because I actually have, I've never had my calculator up on my phone for so long, just keeping track of my budget. And that's, it's funny. I'll even put bids in. I'll make sure. I've done it three times just to double, like triple check myself and be like, okay, am I going over? Am I going over?
You and know, then if I totally you program forgot. A Google Sheet, it'll just save the players in there and what you paid for them, right?
But that's the thing, John. I am lazier than you.
That's a lot less work than typing it in the calculator every time.
Ah, nah.
Of course, I only have four players, so I mean it's pretty.
That's very true.
I haven't had to fill my Google Sheet out very much. So,
like I'm gonna go over some players. Like the whole auction style. Like I said, going into pigs, you can't have a strategy. And here's the thing:
you can
like,
have a strategy. Ah, you keep saying that. I think
David.
I think you guys, you and Scott were both saying you can't have a strategist league, and I think John actually kind of put the strategy out there. You can't go into this with emotion and heart.
Correct.
And to borrow from Scott, you have to be willing to just throw it all. I have $1,000. I'm not going to have any more money till, you know, April 1st, let's say. Oh, well, let's go. $1,000, I'm getting it out there. And I don't care what I got to spend to get my guys. There's no emotion. If I see somebody out there getting a good deal on somebody, I'm going to push their buttons. I'm going to raise that money up. You know, and I'm going to work my angles until I get what I want out of this league. I think that's the approach you have to have.
Yeah, and you do have to pivot. I mean, if stuff happens to mix up your plan, you have to pivot, and you have to pivot quickly, because if you don't, you really can't recover. I mean, you might miss five or six guys might go by that you could have, you know, pivoted to, but if you're flustered, you're going to miss that opportunity. So when the opportunity is there, you really have to strike.
Yeah, it's unreal the amount of non-striking that I've been doing. I'm personally I like to bid on two players at a time at the most. and if players are going off at a value, I'm not the guy that bumps it. I'm never an enforcer. Maybe it's because I've been doing auctions for now 13 years, 14 years. That I've just been burnt so many times in the past that I can't be the enforcer guy, but I'm smart enough to know that in a 56 team league, there's at least
somebody
10
else
enforcers
will be.
Out there. So I don't have to be that guy. I'm going to play it safe.
Sheriff Bill jumped in and got me on a couple of guys that I could have gotten for, I think he ended up making you spend like $5 more on the copies of Kamara. And who was the other one that I got right around that same time? I got both of them like back to back. It's another Zeke. He made me spend like an extra $10, and I knew it was Bill jumping in just to stick me up a little bit more, because he hadn't been active at all that I saw. Then all of a sudden, here comes Sheriff Bill, just to make me spend
just
a little bit more money.
It's just because he's upset. There's no IDP players in here, and I'm pretty sure that's the reason. He's kind of irked about that. So
I can't
maybe
do
pick
that.
Picks four IDP.
No,
Scott, delete. Do not send me an invitation if it's IDP.
There are knockoff pigs leagues out there that are doing IDP. I cannot do it.
It's
can't.
A lot of work.
Praise God to them. I can't imagine.
Oh yeah, I played IDP for years. Quit about 5 years ago because I got sick of putting in tons and tons of time and work and then having the league fold. That was a very common problem with IDP like, you know, 5-6 years ago. Now there's a lot of really hardcore IDP guys, but even it sounds weird to say, but even in the, you know, 2012 range, it was still 10%. IDP has not grown percentage wise, but the amount of people, because more fantasy players, it's, you know, those leagues stay together more. But back then, man, I get sick of leagues folding.
I'm in a 10-year IDP league, Dynasty, and here's a strategy. Tackling linebackers, defensive ends that get sacks, and safeties that can tackle. There's your strategy.
You know, I always just used to churn my defense.
Oh, yeah.
Constant waiver wire.
Yep, safeties that can play linebacker, in-box safeties, those are gold.
Mm. All right. We've fulfilled our IDP talk quota. What do you?
Yeah, this is actually a little sidebar. This is John's last episode, so he is actually calling the shots tonight.
And I don't know. I feel like... I was just speaking as a listener. That was enough IDP talk.
As a human being.
As a human.
Oh,
come on now.
Evil. See? Evil Scott, people.
You hear that, Bill Latin? You hear that, Bill Latin? He's taking shots at you. No, Scott, I had... Looking over these rules for this crazy Pigs 3 League, there's some things in here I really like that I think... I'd like to see more leagues have things like these owner rules you have in here. An owner must keep trade notifications on. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest pet peeves, well, personally in mine, I know so many other people have it, is you send a trade offer out to somebody and you don't get a response for 3, 4, 5 days. And it's like,
well, it even says it on MFL too. If the owner, it says it now, if they don't have trade alerts on, when you send that trade offer, it says at the bottom, it says, like, note, this owner does not have trade alerts on. You might want to message them off-site or something like that. Like, it literally tells you if somebody's not even going to receive an alert that you sent that, which is utterly ridiculous. If you don't want to get trade offers, why do you play?
Why are you playing?
Yeah, that's unreal. In the Pigs Leagues, I coded in a pop-up. So every time you go to the site, if you have a trade offer, it pops up.
It's in your face.
And it's like, in your face, and you have to close it.
It's so funny. When I first had it up, I'm sitting there and I go on the page on my phone. I'm like, what? And I had no idea where to close it. And it was right in front of my face. I'm like, how in the world do I get out of this? And
you
so I just went to the trade.
And you look at it and you view the option.
Well, it was a trade that I proposed to others. So
yeah. You still pop up?
I don't care. I'm going to make them all pop up.
Yep.
just so people constantly check their trades. Yeah. Yeah. It's trade notifications, voting in all polls, those are things that
it's based towards keeping the league active.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the little thing like you must have an icon. don't have the little white, you know, little white helmet with the red and blue stripe. Go find any image on the internet and just use it as your icon.
Well,
whatever.
Well, not any image.
Hey, any old image.
And the standings look dumb if only, you know, if half the teams have icons and half don't. So that's why I do that, because I know some teams are going to want them. Might as well just make a decent pay.
And then the last rule here, you know, as John said, hell, maybe Scott's not the nicest guy out there. An owner is not allowed to transfer a team to another owner. Ownership of teams falls to the commissioner. So that's just you maintaining a little bit to keep the kind of people you want in these leagues, apparently, right?
Yeah, yeah, and John knows this, that I work very hard to, like, when I tweet out about a Pigs League or something, I have plenty of people that want in. I specifically, you know, I look through to see if these are people that, you know, are diehard fantasy guys, or they interact with, you know, other people in the league, or, you know, various things like that. You know, if your timeline has virtually no fantasy on it, I might be a little hesitant to bring you into the Pigs League. And it's so hardcore that I need the hardcore guys. And same thing with SFB. You get an SFB spot, that's yours. It's not, oh, I can't do it, but my friend's going to take my spot. Nope, that's not happening. That's that's
yeah,
not how
would
that
you
works.
Say you have 5,000 people that are on a waiting list?
Yeah, last year was 5,400, I think.
Oh my,
wow.
Something like that.
Wow. That league is so fun. I had a blast playing in it this year. You know, you draft in the middle of summer, so a lot of things can kind of change.
Call it the kickoff to the fantasy season.
It really is. It really is. We're in a dead spot in the off season, really. You know, the rookie drafts already happened. You know, most leagues have had their rookie drafts at that point. Redraft hasn't really kicked in yet. So you got some MFL 10s, MFL 25s, and then along comes the FSB, and that really kind of kicks everything off. And, it gets everything going. Something just happened in that league, apparently. Scott's on his hands in there.
It's a great kickoff. It's a perfect timing. I time it specifically because of there's just nothing in July for fantasy. We're all just kind of waiting for training camp starts at the end of August. You know, we're sitting here on air, and Tyler makes a trade while we're on air in Pigs 3.
Tyler, would you like to discuss your trade?
I... I traded Deshaun Watson for Dak, Chris Thompson, and Aaron Jones because it's 14 teams, and 14 teams mean you need depth, and I wanted depth. I don't have Dak far away from Watson. I think Dak is going to rebound, so that was actually an easy accept for me.
How much did you pay for Watson?
I plead the fifth.
All right, so Scott just asked an interesting question, which I'll have a follow-up question then. So, Scott, the price that you paid for a player, does it actually matter to you when you're considering any type of a trade?
Zero.
Okay. 0%. Exactly. Okay, good. I was curious because you asked him what he paid for it. So, because, like, to me, like, as soon as I got a player on my roster, literally...
Sunk cost.
Yes, it is. It's gone. It makes no difference at all. That's a big factor in a bankroll league because it's hard to get over the fact that you may have paid $100 for somebody and now you're getting offers of like $50. But there are times where, look, that's the best offer you're going to get. And if you're looking to get out of a guy, you kind of have to take it. So you just have to get in the mentality of anything up to this point is literally not important. Nothing matters.
I can't wait to get Aaron. I have Deshaun Watson. I can't wait to get Aaron Jones for like $25 and Chris Thompson. Because there's two more Aaron Jones left and there's three more Chris Thompsons left.
I know. Shh, don't talk about Chris Thompson. We're keeping
this. But the funny thing is when you look at your cash left, you're kind of handcuffed. And that's the thing with me.
I get it. Yeah.
I'm backtracking. I know I am. I screwed up. So I'm making trades to help my team.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad trade for you, actually. I mean, I agree with you on the quarterbacks. I don't think are far apart. And you picked up two additional pieces that could very well end up in your starting lineup. So,
Tim is a huge Aaron Jones guy. Tim's a huge Aaron Jones guy. So,
yeah.
Well, let's say you overpaid for Watson. You know, whatever market value is for him. You now just got three players for the price.
I think that's
an
understatement. Is overpaying.
You now just got three players for that one price. And so let's say you may have overpaid, you know, whatever that price was for Watson, you may have overpaid for those three players. But you're a lot closer now, probably, right, to that total.
And Tyler only has $9 left. So he's filling out his roster via trades.
Tyler did say a big statement that he wants to have depth. Scott, what's your feeling on trying to get depth in a pigs league?
I'm the exact opposite, as John can tell by my other two pigs teams. I try to get the absolute best starting lineup I can possibly get because you are trying to beat 55 other owners, you know? And depth, I think, is the safe way to make the playoffs and maybe get your money back. I don't know that depth is going to win the league.
I'm just looking to rebound and have a mean. I'm not looking to rise above. I'm just looking to be average. Okay.
Depth gets you.
I can't really talk because
I
have not won yet. But for me, I really feel like it's a strong starting lineup as Wiggs League. But I could be very wrong because I haven't done it. oh, man. But no, I do like that trade for you, actually. I really do.
Yeah, I wonder what Jake's assets were. It's probably. I'm assuming that if he made the trade, I'm assuming it's. It goes. It was kind of probably a good trade for both. He probably got those three players for a pretty good price if he was willing to give all three up to get Watson.
That's the thing. I think he was one of the first on Aaron Jones. He was, I want to say, 40. Like,
was like 33. Aaron Jones.
I saw.
Maybe he was
40.
The first one. Maybe he was.
But I mean. It sucks because I'm a big believer in Watson and the offense that he's around. But like, John, you and I are probably big advocators of Dak coming back to form. And Matt Hartman is also posting all these videos about tight window throws and how Dak is spectacular with them. And just get another wide receiver for Dak. Like, maybe play Ryan Switzer, who is going to be, I think, a good football player and will help Dak immensely. I just think
note
that
to
offense
self,
will turn
try and
around.
Get Ryan Switzer, sell him to Tyler at 10 times what I pay.
That's the thing. You guys think I'm all over these guys, but I am also a person who diversifies in leagues. So if I have a bunch of a player in a league, I probably won't go for him in others.
So, wow. John, note to self. Acquire Ryan Switzer in every league you play with Tyler. Sell him for 10 times what you pay.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like Scott's got his notebook out.
I don't think I've nominated today. I think I could not. I think I can go nominate Ryan Switzer right
Ryan
now.
Switzer getting thrown on the board.
Oh man, I am so glad this trade happened because I've been battling Jake for Gronk. He has Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, and Travis Kelce is his roster right now.
So he's building a pretty nice starting lineup there.
But he has $0 left.
We have to start 10 players. We have to start 10. And everybody.
I thought it was 11.
No, that's SFB. 10. SFB's 11. This is 10. We're going to have to. Everybody's going to have 5 or 6 startable guys.
He's maxed out on money, which means if I up Gronk by $1, he can't come over the top of me. So I'm very glad.
That sounds very ridiculous. All come right. over the top of you.
Checking to see if Jake has a pig coin I can offer him $2 for.
No.
See, this is the best part, is people just backstab in this league all the time. The best part is you guys can't see it, but in the videos, all of us have light around us, but John's in a dark room.
He's in his cave, his strategy cave.
You want to hear the
worst part?
He
looks like a dark lord.
I'm going to wait about 14 hours before making that Gronk bid.
Oh, man.
Look, folks, if you don't play in a league like this, these three guys that are on the show with me are all in this league. It's the auction is going down right now. And I can tell you just from watching the three of them, the looks on their faces, the anguish on Tyler's face, the strategy, you just see the gears turning in John's mind. You know, reach out to Scott on Twitter. He'll share with you, you know, all the bylaws on this league. You can copy it, create your own, and get some crazy friends to jump in it with you and go have a ball.
And after you have your friends join you, find new friends because you will not be friends with them anymore.
That is partially true. I will say, like, I've actually built friendships through the Pigs Leagues. I mean, at this point, Mark Hill was my enemy number one. He was my first rival in Pigs. But I have no doubt that at some point in my life, like, I will go out to Colorado and I will meet him and, you know, we'll grab a beer together or something. I hated him in Pigs 1. He was my ultimate rival. And it bled over into many, many, many other aspects, you know, where we ended up competing against each other in a lot of stuff. But at the same time, like, you end up, the respect that you earn for these other owners in a league like this, if it's super active and everybody's involved, it is fun. Tim's telling you to reach out to Scott for the bylaws. That is a fantastic idea. But be aware, they're going to be way more than you ever want to do as a commissioner.
Pare them down.
Strip it down to what is manageable, and make it fun.
Bitcoin. Yeah. Bitcoin.
Scott is a very talented computer person, so he can automate a lot of stuff beyond the capabilities of a normal person.
On the side, so yeah, that definitely helps. And people wonder why I make giant 720 team leagues or 56 team leagues, and it's for that. It's for the connection. It's for, you know, people to get to know one another, to pull the community together, which I truly love, which is what SFB has done over years. People have found websites and analysts and just friends that they haven't known, and Fantasy Cares, people have gotten to, you know, be part of something bigger than themselves, and John helped out with this year and made a lot of little kids very happy at Christmas time.
There's
a lot of positivity that can come with unique ideas and big leagues.
No, that's the thing with Pigs, is doesn't a percentage actually go to Fantasy Cares?
A huge percentage.
Yes, and do that with leagues. If you start a league like this, make the buy-in $5 more, $10 more, and put that extra money into Fantasy Cares or any charity. And that's the thing. Like, you saw this year with Todd Gurley and how he won fantasy championships for people, and people just poured money into charities, and it's great. Like, give back to the community, give back to people when you win, because this is, it's more fun despite the money. Like, Pigs 3, like they all said, I don't care if I win. I probably won't win. I suck at the strategy right now. I have no idea what I'm doing. I am going in blind this season, but it's just fun. I met tons of people that I have not known on the chat, and the interaction's great. Start a league like this, get some money rolling, and get money into charities. and
absolutely
you win either way.
Yeah. I generally go on podcasts preaching, take one of the entry fees, give it to charity. Doesn't matter what charity. I also like that angle, Tyler. Everybody chips in $5 and the winner gives that pot to charity. That's great as well.
Yep.
I know that almost kind of rolled over into real life this year. We saw the Bills fans start donating to charities. Yep. I want to say the Jaguars fans were... Yeah, the Jaguars fans started throwing money at charities, I believe, as well.
Vikings fans.
But yes. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, Vikings fans.
With Morstead. Yeah, or...
You know, that's... It's good to see that kind of stuff happen because, you know, there's a lot of nasty stuff out there. But if Pigs 3 is maybe, like they said, a little too intense, go to Google, type in capitalist pigs scoring, and the first result is a set of bylaws to the original capitalist pigs. And I can tell you, I've looked at that scoring. I've looked at the capitalist pigs 3 scoring. And like John said, it's a whole different ballgame. You got like capital pigs light, which is the first one. And then you got, you know, a nice heavy lager, which is capitalist pigs 3.
IPA.
Yeah.
Wow, like so, the third one down is Pigs 3.
Pigs 3 is just like a keg dropped on your head, I'm pretty sure.
And that's
a pony,
the funny thing
a pony
is,
keg, you know?
And that's the funny thing is Scott offered me a spot in either one, I got to choose 1, 2, or 3. I talked to John about it, and John told me 1 is fun, 2 is great, 3 is going to be awesome. And he just told me because he's like, all of them are a little different, all of them are very active. But he said, I think he pushed me to 3 because I could start my own team and he could probably take advantage of me in the auction. I think right there, a light bulb just hit. And I just realized his strategy. God damn it. I fell for it. Damn it.
Good job, John.
I will say, I fully expected Tyler to be the first person out of money in Pigs 3. If I could have bet who will go broke first, I would have bet on Tyler.
I like spending money.
Tyler would have bet against you, and then he would have lost that bet as well, so he'd be in the negatives right now.
Probably.
I think in the chat today I said I will take 50 pigs dollars, then I will sell my body for that.
Yeah, Tyler's trying to sell. Tyler was trying to sell his body to try and get more pigs bucks. I of course then said I will sell Tyler's body for even less money. So, you know, he can't even get a good price on selling his own body. Somebody's undercutting him at price wise. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun 5 minutes when people weren't sure how to react to that level of discomfort and dark humor.
I think it was fine until you hit cold, warm or cold. Yes.
That's
with
right.
The body.
It was 30 if you wanted the body and 40 if you wanted. 40 if you wanted it warm still.
That's when the disturbing part happened. See, this is what leagues do. It gets the chats rolling, and you could have your body sold dead or alive.
Best offer I got was 20, Tyler, so you're in good shape right now, man. I'm not coming down on my prices.
20? I'll take that.
Well,
dear Lord.
If somebody out there knows how to get some capitalist pigs buck Tyler, he's willing to sell himself, so... It's always an option now.
Anything you want.
And
anything.
I'm willing to sell Tyler as well. I will maintain my stance on being open to selling him.
But I just want to say before we end the show tonight, John, it is your last episode, and I just want to say thank you for all that you have done at Dynasty Happy Hour. And thank you so much. You are still going to be a man behind the curtains helping Dynasty Happy Hour out. So you're not completely leaving. You're just leaving the podcast, and you've got those great podcasts. You got the Dynasty Game Night, which is one of the funnest things to listen to. But don't listen to it at work. I will suggest that when you're in the middle of doing something at my work and you're screaming out answers, it doesn't really work out too well. And you've got the new one. John, let them know what the new one is.
Yeah, so I appreciate you guys having me first. Like, let me keep the seat warm for Tim while he was on his little sabbatical, having to, you know, go and work reality life and stuff like that. So
overnight, ugh.
I can't imagine, but no, I'm glad that it worked out timing wise that I was able to jump on and help out a little bit. So the new one is on DTC's feed. It's going to be Dynasty Wall Street. And it's Riley, who we're all friends with, and Kevin, who we all hate. You know, Kevin's a pig. Tim doesn't know the hatred that we all have towards Kevin because he's a pig. But he's also a disease. Jesus. Oh, that's a Tennessee Tim. You gotta get on. Kevin is Kevin Cotillo from Floffle, who now anytime he basically speaks, he gets the gif sent of the Home Alone. Kevin, you're such a disease sent to him.
Oh, it's great.
He's basically become infamous whatever with it. So doing one with them where we're just kind of talking out, hashing out player values and stuff like that. But so I enjoyed my time here. It was a lot of fun. It'll be good to hear Tim back on the pod. And there's another guy too that I haven't heard in like a couple of months. I don't know. Some Doug dude it'll be great to hear you three back and listen to you guys in the future.
Yeah, Doug is very excited to come back. He just hopped on the plane and he's off of his little cruise with his wife. So he's back to reality too. So
which means back to fantasy, of course.
Oh yeah. Back to fantasy. And Scott, do you got anything? What are you kind of doing with yourself other than pigs? and of course a newer child, which congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Newborn. So that takes up a lot of my time. Otherwise, I'm working at, Fanball. We got MFL 10s launching soon. MFL 10s acquired by Fanball. Ooh. So that's coming up within the next week or two. That'll be a lot of fun. And then I'm running a bunch of leagues under our Commissioner Service Safe Leagues, which I commission, and I'm getting awesome new leagues for this upcoming year.
And, of course, Scott Fishbowl.
That is coming up.
What, 1,200?
No. Well, I started going by the year. So it's going to be SFB8, and I think it's still going to be 720 teams. I just don't think I'm going to increase it this year. This will be the first time I don't increase it, I think.
Yeah, with a new kid, I don't think you want to step in that territory, and I would completely agree.
Yes.
Because the older they get.
I'm glad you say that. So thank you for understanding when I have to give your spot to someone else.
How do you sign up for Scott? If you want to be in the SFB and get your name noticed, Scott, how do you give our listeners a little hint on how they might get their name? How do you get a notice when there's 5,000 people? What is there anything you can do to make your name noticeable?
I don't know what there is at scottfishbowl.com. There's a sign up. I think it's like right at the top. It says double check that. But yes, just sign up there. There is a spot to leave a comment if you want to leave a comment, I guess. But other than that,
be creative really with the comment. Know. Scott reads the comments.
I do. I read every single comment.
I don't remember what John I put a couple of years ago, but I put something and I got an email response and I was like, oh my God, he actually read that comment. Yep. I don't remember what it was, but
I read every single comment.
Yep. That was when John was a huge fanboy. He's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I'll openly admit I was a fanboy. I was shocked I got in Pigs 1. I still don't know how I managed to weasel my way into that league. I'm
glad you did.
I'm glad I
like
did. I'm
I like
glad
your
I
word the wordplay. I like the wordplay too. I got into Pigs 1. I don't know how I weaseled my way into it.
Wasn't even going for that pun. I just kind of squeaked by. But
there's another one. Squeaked by. All right.
But if you don't get into, I run satellites. Fantasy Cares runs a bunch of satellite leagues that you can win your way via various contests.
That's what I was hinting at, Scott, was playing those Fantasy Care satellites if you don't get in. And
yeah,
a lot of times names get, you play in a bunch of those. I mean, let's face it, your name ends up getting a little bit known. Scott's email server starts saving your email. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and there have been definitely more than a few times that I've been filling out the last few SFB8 spots or SFB7 spots, and I noticed a name that had played in like six different Fantasy Cares League, and I'm like, yeah, all right, let's get you in here. So
and I mean, like we all said earlier, it doesn't hurt. Even if you don't make it or anything, to give to Fantasy Cares, because you actually see the pictures from last year and the toys they got for these kids. They made so many children happy, and there's a lot of people in need. And Christmas is a holiday kids need to have, and It's a great thing. I can't stress it enough. Give to Fantasy Cares. It's amazing.
What was the 2017 total, Scott?
The 2017 total? $15,423.22. $1,040 of that did go to Houston Relief, but still, you know, over $14,300 went to toys.
That's a lot of Power Rangers and Nerf guns.
Oh, I did not buy it. Did you buy any Power Rangers, John?
I did not. My favorite stuff was the Peppa Pig. When I bought Peppa Pig toys, yeah, that was awesome. Because then I got to, of course, share it in all the pig chats and be like, oh, look what I'm buying. I'm buying Peppa Pig toys to send to these kids for SFB Toys for Tots, you know. Oh, that was probably like my favorite thing to buy was the Peppa Pig stuff.
If you want to see what John bought, it is on fantasycares.net. I should probably say the name of the site, fantasycares.net. So is a video of we got on the news. So there's a video there. Yep. Yeah, you can see all the toys.
Yeah, Scott was nice enough to let some of us participate and spread the money out. It would have been a lot of work to go and spend $14,000. So he was kind enough to let some of us pitch in some other cities across the country, which was awesome to see because we went on different days, stuff like that. And so it extended that too, where we all got to kind of take part in this enjoyment over a little while.
Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Like we said, John, it's been great having you, buddy. I love hearing your ideas. So I'll be listening wherever you're at going forward. And of course, Scott, one of the greatest minds in the industry. You've put together a fantastic charity organization, all based off of fantasy football. So that way when my wife kind of gives me a hard time, says, it's just a game. Yeah, well, look what this game's done. I showed her all the pictures this past year. You know, it really is awesome. And thanks for putting all that kind of good stuff together. Tyler, I look forward to chatting with you next week. And Doug, we miss you. Look forward to having you next week.
Combine. Combine stuff.
Combine, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The combine is upon us. This has been the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I forgot to mention at the beginning, but we are brought to you by the Sit or Start app. It is a great fantasy football app. Go get it on, you know, an Apple or an Android phone. Download it. And we'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.